Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Friday evening, everybody. It's Friday evening, and where else would you be but right here at Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Thanks for hanging out with me. Oh, my gosh. We are completely on Obamacare overload, are we not? You know, it's a hugely, such a hugely important thing. But man, oh, manischewitz. Has this been quite a revealing week for those of us who are going to be dealing with this for quite a long time to come? And, you know, let's get right into it. We've got all kinds of other things. Of course, the shooting at the Los Angeles airport today, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But, you know, what else would we start out with here but Obamacare and the horror that it is. You know, it just, gosh, I got so much stuff here, I don't even know where to begin. But, you know, we did find out earlier this week that, you know, this thing has been a train wreck from jump, from the word go. And we knew that it was a train wreck. Those of us on the right knew what a debacle that this was going to be from the very beginning. And the Democrats, they've been so intent on shoving this down the throats of the American people because apparently we're all too stupid to know what's good for us and we don't really know what we want. They know what we need. We just don't know what we want. And what we want is to be able to keep the insurance that we have right now or with the beginning of the year coming up through your employer. You want to be able to choose the things that you want in your health plan, and apparently none of us are all, we're just too brain dead to figure those things out for ourselves. And this week we had plenty of hearings galore up on Capitol Hill, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius herself, at first, actually, she was not going to testify, and I think that somebody must have pulled her aside and told her how it would behoove her, how it would be to her advantage that, well, she might want to show up and testify because if she did not, it was going to look pretty bad for her. We found out this week that the entire Obama administration knew as early as 2010 when this bill was signed into law that as many as, earlier in the week we heard 10 million, now I've heard it's up to probably maybe 90 million people that were in some way going to be affected by this and that were going to lose their insurance. I don't remember last week if I mentioned this myself. I have friends myself who are, they haven't been kicked off of their insurance plan, but they've been switched to something else. And it's not something that they chose on their own to switch to. And, you know, people, but there's story upon story upon story this week of people being kicked off insurance policies. And this is only the beginning, folks. It's only going to get worse from here. And, you know, there's a small part of me, as bad as this is for the country and as bad as this is for the American people, there's a small part of me that's thinking that next year, 2014, during the midterm elections, that this almost has to be the Republicans to lose. But we all know all too well that what Republicans do best is snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So we also found this out this week, too, that, okay, this gigantic Ponzi scheme, this gigantic pyramid scheme that is Obamacare, what it needs to remain viable and remain fluid is you need a lot of young, strong, healthy people to be signing up for this, and they're going to be paying these astronomical premiums, or they're going to pay a fine. Well, and I probably said this last week, too, that if you are a 20-something, perfectly healthy person, probably health insurance is, unless you get sick, health insurance is about the last thing that you're thinking of. And so if people actually get to the point where they can get onto the website, and that's the biggest cluster mess right now, is that practically no one can get on the website in order to sign up. But if you are a young, healthy 20-something and you do manage to get on the website to sign up for this, premiums are going to knock you off your feet. And what this does here is that, or what we need to happen here, is that we need lots of young, healthy people. And also, we all know that right now, a lot of young, healthy people don't have jobs. So there's no income to provide payment for these premiums for a lot of these people, for a lot of these young people. And what this program needs, what this law needs in order to succeed, is young, healthy people paying into it. Otherwise, you have a lot of older, sicker people with lots of chronic conditions paying into this, and it just doesn't work. And so in order to keep this whole law afloat, what we need by March is to, when the deadline approaches, we have to have at least 39,000 people per day signing up for this health insurance, for this government health insurance. And, well, Fox News broke this last night that on the first day of enrollment, October 1st, would anybody care to guess what the grand total of people were that signed up for this? I'll give you a hint. You can count on the fingers of both hands how many people signed up for this that were actually successful in signing up for this, going through the whole process, getting on the website, the whole enchilada, and going through the whole process. Well, it was a grand total of 6. What's the population of the United States right now? Maybe 300 million, 350 million? 6 people signed up. By the end of the third day, by the end of the Wednesday of that week, October 1st was a Monday, I think, I don't know, but by the third day of enrollment, we were up to a grand total of around 100. So already, and again, those of us on the right knew that this was what was going to happen. And so already we know that there is big trouble going on here. And, you know, all of the usual suspects have, you know, been on the radio, been on TV this week, talking about how the president had no idea that this was going to go as awful as it did. The president had no idea that the website was going to be as horrific as it is. The president didn't know this. The president didn't know that. And you know what? I think I got to thinking with a lot of other people, and I think the general consensus was this, was that, well, okay, the president is saying, I had no idea, I didn't know that this was going, I didn't know that the website was going to be this awful, I didn't know this, I didn't know that. Well, you know, we can go down the list of things right now today that the president didn't know about? Let's see. The president didn't know about the healthcare.gov website. Okay, he didn't know about that. The president also didn't know anything about the Fast and Furious gun running operation. The president didn't know anything about the IRS targeting conservative groups. The IRS didn't know anything about the NSA, regular Americans. The president didn't know anything about what was going on in Benghazi. So I think a question that a lot of people are having here is, what exactly did the president know? Anyway, let's see. I am going to talk to someone right here. Let's see. Oops, I can never do this right, can I? Let's see. I'm going to get to you here. Hang on just a second. Ta-da! There you go. Hi, you're on the phone with Becky Noble. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio. Who am I talking to?
This is Martin. I think I spoke to you last week.
Oh, hi,
week.
Martin. You did. I'm glad you called back. Hi, thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Actually, I just wanted to correct you real quick. The actual number of how many people have lost their health care at the current point is 10 million. The estimate is
right,
supposed to be 93
right,
is what what most conservative people are saying.
Right. Yeah, I did know that. I did hear that at the beginning of this week that they have said at this point that 10 million had lost their insurance. Yeah, and I thank you for correcting that because you know, and I know there's so many numbers floating around, you know, about this, and you know it's easy to get them mixed up, you know. But yeah, I did hear that. I did hear that there was 10 million people so far, and you know I think it's only going to get worse.
Well, you're probably right. I think that a lot of this boils down to like two separate things. It's one, the failure of the administration, and two, the greed of the insurance companies. Because a lot of these insurance companies, apparently, like they say that the biggest clause that is making everybody lose their health insurance is that the insurance companies are required by law to spend 60% of the money that you pay to them on your actual medical care. So it's like it's a toss-up. So, I mean, there's like such this badness on so many different angles, and I totally don't agree with the fact
anybody
should have to get any kind of insurance. I think that the government mandated insurance was a terrible idea. You know, I agreed with the Heritage Foundation that if we were going to do this, it should have been a single payer system. But you know, we got what we got, and it's like it's terrible. I don't like it. I don't know anybody that really does like it. You know, I've heard a lot of people talking about their premiums going through the roof, that their premiums are higher. And I think that the biggest one that I've heard of is Humana. Humana's the worst. But Humana has a terrible track record for healthcare anyways. But, yeah, it's just awful that people lose their health insurance like that.
Right. Well, I'm going to disagree with you on a single-payer system because I think we've seen that every place it's worked, be it in Europe or anywhere else on the planet that it's worked, people hate that too. And so I'll agree with you that there's insurance companies are not angels, and they are probably doing a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing. But, you know, I think the bottom line is that, you know, it's just one more thing that the government doesn't need to have their hand in, you know. And so, I mean, I'll agree with you that there's plenty of good guys and bad guys on both sides of this. But I do want to thank you for calling in, though, Martin. Thanks a lot. I'm glad to know you're out there listening. Thanks so much. But I do. We got a little bit here of Kathleen Sebelius this week at the hearings up on Capitol Hill this week, and she was being questioned by. I wish I could remember his name now, and I'm having a total brain hemorrhage. But representative from Colorado, and let's just listen to what she had to say.
It's expired. Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Secretary Sebelius, for being here. Here's my letter. This is the letter that my family got canceling our insurance. We chose to have our own private policy back in Colorado so we could be in the same boat as every one of my constituents. And yet my insurance policy has been canceled. The White House website says, if you like your health plan you have, you can keep it. Did I hear it wrong?
Again, sir, I don't know how long you've had your policy or
why aren't you losing your insurance?
Pardon me?
Why aren't you losing your health insurance?
Because I'm part of the federal employees.
Why aren't you in the exchange? You're in charge of this law, correct? Why aren't you in the exchange?
Because I'm part of the federal employee health
plan. Why aren't you in the exchange? Why won't you go into the exchange? You're a part of this law. You're literally in charge of this law. Should you be any different than all of the other Americans out there who are losing their health insurance?
I'm part of the 95% with affordable, available health coverage. As
you're part of a plan
of
that most Americans aren't available to them. Why will you not agree to
I am not eligible for the exchange.
I went
because
to the
I have coverage
you can decide to drop your coverage of your employer. You have the choice to decide not to choose.
That is not true, sir.
I chose not to go
into the congressional
Members
of Congress
plan.
Are now part of the exchange thanks to an amendment
Before,
that was added by Congress, but I am
Madam
not
Secretary,
eligible.
With all due respect.
If I have affordable coverage in my workplace, I am not eligible to go into the marketplace.
With all due
That's
respect, Madam, I would, Madam Secretary, I would encourage you to be just like the American people and enter the exchange and agree to find a way to do
illegal.
That, Madam Chair, Madam Secretary. And I would like to show you an advertisement that's going on in Colorado right now. This is an advertisement that a board member of the Colorado Exchange has put forward. Do you agree with this kind of advertising for Obamacare?
I can't see it, and again,
it's a college student doing a keg stand.
If the Colorado Exchange did that,
do you approve of this kind of advertising?
State-based marketplace.
Do you approve of this kind of advertising?
I don't see it. I don't know what it is, and I did not approve it. This is a state-based marketplace.
That's a pretty big font. That's a pretty big picture of a keg, and you
sir,
can't see it.
Do I approve of it? I've
you
never
have the ability to opt out, by the way, as a federal employee. You could take the insurance. So I would encourage you to make that.
If I have available employer-based coverage, I'm
I would also like to submit a waiver for my district from Obamacare, and hope that you will consider waiving Obamacare for the 4th congressional district.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
Does your policy?
That was Cory Gardner. I'm sorry I could not remember his name before the soundbite. That is Cory Gardner. He is a Colorado representative from the 6th Congressional District out in Colorado. And Kathleen Sebelius, I believe, will be back next week for more testimony on this. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
And we're back. I'm Becky Noble. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight, everybody. TGIF, and a belated happy Halloween to all of my Wiccan and pagan friends, or should I say happy Samhain, a happy and blessed pagan new year. But we're talking about what else, what everybody else has been talking about this week, the big healthcare rollout, or the lack of it, or the train wreck that it has become. And Kathleen Sebelius seems to be the one that she's been in the hot seat this week, and all eyes have been on her. But, you know, I don't want to go on. We've just got a few minutes left, and I don't want to spend the whole time doing this. But, you know, I think this whole thing boils down to one thing, and I think that it is not so much about it's about health care, but I think more than anything else, I think so much of this is about more government control, because once this is completely put into place and it's completely underway, you know, there's no telling where it can end. And who's to say that at some point that your health care will be based upon your diet? Your health care may be based upon how you live. Do you exercise? What do you eat? Any little thing that pertains to your health and the way that you live your life and the way that you maintain your own personal health in your everyday life. And just more than anything else, yeah, it's about health care, but yeah, it's a lot about control too. And I think we all know that this administration, this crowd, you know, I think that's the bottom line for them. I think it's all about control. And I thank Martin for calling in and helping me out that ultimately there could be as many. Right now it is only 10 million people who are off the insurance rolls, but ultimately it could be as many as 90 million people. And, you know, it snowballs, and it snowballs into just more and more and more control. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to get to today, besides the shooting in L.A., I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Former Vice President Dick Cheney was on with George Stephanopoulos last weekend on ABC, and I just wanted to play this clip because I thought it was really interesting. He was talking about the 2012 election, and he really made some really good points, I think, on what the Republicans need to do, not just in 2014, but in 2016.
Let's turn to politics. There's a lot of debate about what's going to take for the Republicans to win back the White House. And our latest poll at ABC News Washington Post shows how deep the hole is for the Republican Party. Worst numbers in a generation. One telling one I want to put up on the screen right now. Americans are asked, who's doing what's best for the country versus what's best for their own political interests? Only 20% believe Republicans doing what's best for the country, 52% for President Obama. The brand is at its lowest numbers ever in polling. Does that worry you? I know you didn't worry about your personal poll numbers, but for the party, does that worry you, and how should they fix it?
Well, I think we've got a long way to go, obviously, to rebuild the party. I think it's very important that we bring in a new generation of leadership. I think after the presidential election last year, you know, we got whipped. A lot of us thought we were going to pull it out, and that didn't happen. And we clearly need to spend time and effort on building the base, building the party, making it a full-time professional operation in terms of the RNC. There's a lot of work to be done, no question about it.
Part of that new generation, your daughter Liz running for Senate.
She is indeed.
In Wyoming, has rankled a lot of feathers in Washington. Most of the Republican senators supporting the incumbent, Mike Enzi. Mm-hmm. He himself said this week that he felt a bit blindsided by your whole family, said he thought you were his friend. How do you respond to that criticism?
Well, Mike also said he and I are fishing buddies, which is simply not true. Never happened. The fact of the matter is, Washington's not going to elect the next senator from Wyoming. The people of Wyoming will elect that senator. Mike has a record, if you go back and review his finances, of getting about 84% of his campaign funds from Washington-based PACs. That's more than any senator of either party. He doesn't get much money from Wyoming. In the quarter just reported, Liz got 25% of her funds from Wyoming. He got 13% of his from Wyoming. She outraised him in the last quarter, over $1 million in the first quarter out there. So I think it's a great campaign. She's going full speed. She's going to win. And Washington isn't going to decide who's the next senator from Wyoming. Wyoming is
far behind right now.
It's just started.
Broader, you've also said that your daughter and others represent this new generation, and that one of the things they're going to do is energize the base. But is that really the problem the Republican Party has right now? The presidents you worked for were pretty successful in reaching out beyond the base, persuading people who weren't voting for Republicans to vote for them. Isn't that what the party has to do?
We need to do it all. They can't say, well, we're going to write off that group or write off that segment. We've got to have first-class candidates. I think we're making progress. I think Reince Priebus is doing basically good work in terms of trying to change the rules, to move up the convention date, to shorten the primary time, and put in the field a full-time paid staff as the Obama people have over the years. So
you see anybody
no
out there who can bring back some Democrats and independents to the Republicans?
Oh, I think so. I'm not going to predict at this point or endorse anybody. We've got a long way to go to the next presidential election, but We've been there before. It's not the first time we've had to go down this road, and it's basically, I think, healthy for the party to, you know, to be brought up short and say, okay, now it's time to go to work, and we need to look to our basic strategy, our personnel, and as I say, I feel very strongly about it's time to get a new generation involved.
Well, you're looking healthy.
You know, I couldn't agree more with just about everything that Vice President Cheney said. We do. It's time for new blood. It's time for new leadership in the party. And, you know, for all the poll numbers thrown around that Steffi likes to throw around there at the former Vice President, I've got a few here of my own. And it would kind of reiterate what Vice President Cheney said, that we do have a lot of work, to do. According to a Real Clear Politics average, the Obama job approval right now, those that approve is at 43.4%. Disapprove is at 51.6%. The percentages here for the average for the health care law, those who are for the health care law is at 42.4%. Those that are against are 50.1%. And the one that I think here really is the most telling is the direction of the country. Those that think that we are on country is on the right track is 22.6%. Those that think that the country is on the wrong track is at 70.6%. And that means that there is a lot of work to be done. And I think maybe that Vice President Cheney could be right, that maybe we are the ones to do that work. But real quickly, I want to talk about the shooting here in L.A. today. This was a 23-year-old young man who apparently had sent a suicide text to his family. That's kind of a new one. You text your family when you're thinking about killing yourself. Apparently, he was looking for TSA agents, and unfortunately, one TSA agent was killed. There were five others injured. There is a report that he had some sort of literature on him from a group called New World Order that, you know, they talk a lot about the sovereignty of nations going by the wayside, and that there's going to be that just this one big one-world government and things like that. Probably traditionally it was the territory of extreme right-wing, say that three times fast, groups, and now apparently those who are getting into these kind of conspiracy theory things, there are some leftist groups that are ascribing to these to groups like New World Order and some of the things that they espouse. So I'm sure we're going to be finding more about this young man, 23-year-old Paul Ciancia, who I think is originally from New Jersey but was living there in California. So I'm sure this is just unfolding since it just happened today. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more about this next week. Of course, like I said, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is scheduled, I believe, to testify again next week. This half hour goes by so fast. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me tonight. Thanks, Martin, for helping me out and calling back tonight. I'm really glad you're out there. It means a lot to me. Everybody check out conservativecauldron.blogs.com. There's a little Halloween odds and ends up there right now. Please go to facebook.com/BeckyNoble. You can also find me on Twitter at PatriotWitch. And please check out my new YouTube channel. It's under my name, Becky Noble, but I like to call it Conservative Cauldron TV. So that's just getting underway, just starting out, and I hope to be putting a lot more videos up there in the coming weeks and months. And I just want to thank everybody for hanging out tonight, and you're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Thanks for being here, and I will see you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.